I'm going to take my script out of the book of Zechariah, and I'm going to read a few scripture, 8 verses there, so bear with me as we read them. And they read in this manner. Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up like someone awakened from sleep. He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and 7 lamps on it with 7 channels to the lamps. Also, there are 2 olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." I asked the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" And he answered, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my Lord," I replied. Verse 6, "So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone of shouts of God bless it, God bless it.' Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it.' Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you." And I'm going to just give it a simple title, Zerubbabel the Builder. And that's my thought for today, Zerubbabel the Builder. Lift your hands with me. Let's go before the Lord and open our hearts to his word. Father, I thank you for this moment that you've given to me to be before your beautiful church, God. And all those that are here today, Lord, are here because they love you. They've come to worship your name. Lord, I thank you for that and the unity of worship and the song leading, Lord God, what we have sung. We've sung it to you, Lord. You are worthy of all of our praise, our worship, and our sacrifices that we make, Lord, in this life and even now here today. Lord, it was not, Lord, I didn't pay a great price for anything. You paid for everything, and I'm here because of you. You said if you'd be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you, and you drew me unto you, Lord. It was not me, it was you that drew me to you, Lord. I am a miracle today because of you, just as all that are here today are miracles because you drew us to yourself. Thank you, Father, for that. And we thank you for what you're going to do in our midst, Lord, going forward. In Jesus' name, I pray and I decree it upon this church. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand praise. And you may take your places if you can. And bear with me. Praise God for the next few moments. Zerubbabel, the Builder. Amen. This part of the Old Testament history is one that that I have identified with in my own story. I have the experience that I have. In fact, this year, I believe, amen, has marked 50 years in the ministry. I completed 50 years as a minister ordained of God. And I believe me, it wasn't 50 years. You might say, well, that blew by pretty fast. No, it happened one day at a time. And in that one day at a time, believe me, my wife and I and our family at the time, we only had one little baby. And it was quite an experience in where God took us through and what we experienced in our ministry. But I have my own story, but I want to reflect on Zerubbabel's story. It is a story of rebuilding and refocusing on a special and unique call of God to look forward and not allow the past to overshadow what will become. I can personally identify with this story because for many, many occasions in my own personal walk, I thought that that was the end of the road, and I felt as if though this is as far as I'm going to be able to go. But, you know, God had another plan for me, and just when I felt that it was time for me to hang up the gloves, God said, you know, put them back on. You're not done yet. And so I have to be obedient to the Lord, though I thought different, though many times you have thought different. Maybe you have felt that this was the end of the road, but let me tell you something. You know, I grew up in certain environments, and one of the things that I used to do, I was, in fact, somebody just told me last night, as we wished her a happy birthday, my wife and I, we wished an old friend of ours a happy birthday over the, you know, what they call that, FaceTime. And she's saying, well, I remember you. So since you were young and your mom used to tell me, let's go pray in his room. And I says, you were one of those that used to go pray in my room. She says, we used to go. And she started naming all the ladies that used to have a prayer meeting in my bedroom. And she says, and you knew it because your mom said that when you came home, you used to say, Mom, why were you praying in my room? And she says, but look what the Lord has done. He saved you. Amen. So I know that I am here because I am a miracle, but many times in my Christian walk, I have felt like this is the end of the road, but God had another plan for me. Thank God that the Lord always makes a way, praise God, and he allows us to see, you know, where we're going. Praise God, and I thought that many, many times I felt like this is the end of the road when I was, and this is the things that I've always been one to challenge things right to the edge. And I remember being a little boy and we would have these little bicycles and the challenge was at the end of the road, there was a dead end street and there was a block wall. I mean, a brick wall, big block wall. Amen. And the it wasn't chicken. I don't know what it was called, but amen. I was in, amen. And I says, let's do it. And it says, the one that can get to the closest to the wall first is the winner. And so, I mean, we went full steam on our bikes, man. We were going. We were looking at each other to see who was going to quit first. I was not going to quit. If I had to go head on with that wall, I was going to go head on with it, amen. And I was not going to lose, and I was not going to be a quitter, amen. And I can see everybody laying down their bikes just, you know, feet before it, and then their bike would crash against the wall, and I wanted to be last. Man, I paid the price, but I was last. I won, but I won with bruises and busted head and all of that. But man, no helmets back then, by the way. Amen. But man, let me tell you something. I was always one to just take it to the extreme. And that was my life. Amen. But you know, I had to ask myself once I was converted. And I said, Lord, will I be the same way with you? Will I just take it all the way and just trust you? If it's a cliff, I'm going off the cliff. This is for Jesus. No, amen, but no suicides, right? That's just been my motto, that I'm going to do everything that I can to the very end, and I'm not going to throw in the gloves or hang the gloves. No, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. There's one more soul to save, one more soul to save, and I've got to reach that one soul. I got to tell somebody about Jesus, amen, and my wife and I are determined, and we've been witnessing to people, and we're not afraid to just, my wife especially, she just opens up and starts talking to people about God, and I says, wow, man, she's got boldness, you know, and then she engages me, and there we are, you know, we talk to people about the Lord, that is something that is inside of us, to win people to Christ. Praise God. But God through me brought me here to unite with City Light. And I've been contemplating on this, praise God. And I've been contemplating on that. Lord, why did you bring me to City Light? I was comfortable where I was. You know, I'm okay. But the Lord says, no, I want you to go to City Light and be part of a powerful move that I have prepared for City Light to build the church, knowing that God is the owner, praise God, and the best is ahead of us. Praise God. City Light, I want you to know the best is ahead of us. God did not bring me here, amen, to throw in the towel or man, I'm going all the way for it, man, and I'm going to be the last one if I have to be, amen, praise. But let me tell you, that's the spirit that I have. I have the spirit of Caleb, amen, the spirit of Caleb. I'm only 4 years away from being a Caleb, by the way. I'm only a few years away from being a Caleb because the Bible says that 80 years old Caleb got new strength. He says, give me that mountain. Praise God. I'm only a few years away of how Caleb. I'm beginning to feel like a Caleb. Praise God. I don't make no excuses. Praise God has preserved me. Praise the Lord. I might not be able to run like I used to have, but I got an attitude like I used to have, and that is that I want to win another soul for Jesus. I want to win somebody else for Jesus. Somebody needs Jesus. God's going to use my life that we can lead somebody to the Lord. The fact that the vision was held hostage. Listen to this. The people of God, they were taken by Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. The fact that the vision was held hostage for many years by the oppressing king Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who had destroyed King Solomon's temple, and by taking for himself the valuable vessels that were dedicated for God's use, for God's temple, and that belonged to God, and he took them for himself and him alone. You know the story about Nebuchadnezzar. It's a very interesting story. But God dealt with Nebuchadnezzar as a prophet. Daniel interpreted his dream and the writing on the wall. So many things that happened to Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm not going to go to all of the details, but God humbled Nebuchadnezzar and brought him to his knees and to the realization because of his pride and for taking what belonged to God for his own personal use. But Nebuchadnezzar was mistaken and doing all that he did, thinking that he can do what he did and just turn his back, and that God was going to forget the temple, that God was going to forget what was built up for him, that God was going to forget that Solomon had built the temple that would glorify him, and that Solomon would build a temple where the glory of the Lord would reside in such a way, amen, on the dedication day that the cloud was so thick that they could have ministers and the priests could not minister. God's glory has never left the church. God's glory will never leave the church. You might take all the utensils. You might take all the things that are worth anything, amen, to man, but to God. The main thing is that nobody destroys God's temple. Praise God. You might suppress the glory, Nebuchadnezzar, but taking the physical items of value. But in time, he realized that God's most valuable possession and creation is not made of gold. It's not made of silver or precious materials such as Nebuchadnezzar would think. But look what it says. God's most valuable possession is his people. Somebody say praise the Lord. He's his chosen generation, his holy nation that carries the bloodline, and most importantly, his spirit. You see, the enemy, like Nebuchadnezzar, he can take whatever you want. This is mine. That is mine. Take it. Well, whatever. You know, I'm taking charge here, and I'm gonna take Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he wanted these things for his own use, for his own parties, and he had these parties, and there was using the vessels that were supposed to be that were actually dedicated to God. Yeah, you can take all of those things that are physical, but the one thing you're not gonna take is the praise that I have in my heart. The worship that I have in my spirit. You can take the the boy out of the country, but you're not going to take the country out of the boy. Amen. What I've got, God gave it to me. It doesn't matter where you find me, I'm going to worship God. If I'm on the mountain, I worship him. If I'm in the valley, I worship him. Why? Because we're God's people. Doesn't matter what happens. Your boss could fire you from your job, send you on your way, and you can say, God's going to bless me. You watch. This all happened because God is going to do something better in my life. Praise God. Don't look back. Don't become a pillar of salt. Amen. Don't cry over the history or what happened back there. Praise God. Look forward and see, you know what? Let God be true. Every man a liar. God's going to bless my life. Nebuchadnezzar thought that by destroying the physical temple, he would destroy the nation. But God, when he decides to rebuild, he doesn't need physical materials, valuable materials. All he needs is to stir up his most valuable possession, which is his people, to accomplish the greatest purposes for his glory. And why don't you turn around and tell your neighbor, God wants to use your life. God wants to use your life. Praise God. Let him use you. You're not done yet. God's not done with you. God started with a prophetic word to align the future of his people, led by a man that he had chosen to motivate and lead his people forward and focus on the future. During the exile in Babylon, which later was conquered, Babylon was conquered by Persia, but for after 70 years, the Jewish exiles, amen, return, praise God, with an order to give them all they needed to build a new temple in Jerusalem. You see, God will not ask us to do anything without providing the means and the resources. Praise God. And this is the way God, why? It's because it's for his glory. Zerubbabel was among the men who began the rebuilding. 7 months after they had returned, the first thing they built was the altar of the temple. It was built on the same site, the same exact spot, and daily sacrifices began again. So this is what I want to communicate to somebody here today. If you feel that you have lost and you have lost some things in your life, as if the devil has taken away from you and you're not privileged to have this or that, I'm telling you, I know what it feels like to lose a few things. I've lost some things in my life, and I've shared this testimony with you. I've made a really bad investment one time in my life, and I lost it all, man. I lost everything. I had to sell my car, sell my boat, my truck. I sold everything, got get rid of everything, and ended up with nothing but an old car. And I told my wife, that car's for old people. It leaked when it rained, and the only thing good about that car was the air conditioner. It was good. But I know what it is to lose. But I told my wife, we're going to get out of this. You what? We're God's people. I'm God's child here. God's going to see me through. It was somebody took advantage of me, and I didn't see it coming, and I lost. But let me tell you something. I told my wife, I says, look, God's going to rebuild our life. Something's going to happen here for us. And she says, oh, yeah, really? Look at that car we're driving. It's an embarrassment. I had to sell my Mark V Lincoln Continental, man, with Corinthian leather. So that's how they used to advertise. Oh, man. I never had a car with such good leather in my life. But you sit in that car, you just sink in it, my God. And now we're in this little car, you know, that, my God, it was uncomfortable. And, well, praise God. And I said to my family, we're uncomfortable for a season, but God's favor is on our lives. 2 years later, we're still in that old jalopy. Amen. But I came out of a restaurant in fact, her dad treated us to a nice dinner at a Chinese restaurant, the Mandarin or whatever it was called. Amen. And we came out and I seen this car. I said, wow, look at that car. I mean, it was an Oldsmobile, you know, 98, Regency. And I looked at it, and I says, oh, my God. And I was walking around it. And then my wife says, don't be looking over there. You know, I says, wow, look at this car. And then I told my wife, I says, we're going to have one of those. Oh, really? She says, yeah, we're going to have one like that. And let me tell you something. I don't know if it was less than 6 months. We were driving a brand new Regency. Praise God. And the Lord began to restore us. Amen. And let me tell you something. It just, God opened the windows of heaven because we remained faithful to him in everything that we did. We served God with all our heart. We did everything we're supposed to do. And God blessed. He honored us. And he blessed. I know what it is to lose everything. But I have news for somebody here today. This is a valuable lesson to learn. That Zerubbabel got a word from the Lord. And he said, God is going to give him everything he needed to rebuild the temple. Let me tell you something. Maybe you're so deep in debt right now, but God's going to bring you out of that. Maybe you got an issue going on in your life, but God's going to bring you out of that. Because when God's favor is upon you, there is nothing impossible for him. Nothing impossible for God. God will bring you out. God will bless your life. This is a valuable lesson for God's people. We must continue, amen, with what connects us with God. Prayer, fasting, true worship, praise God, sacrificial giving of your time, your resources, your talents. Give them to the Lord. Say, Lord, you gave it to me. I'm giving it back. I'm serving you at this capacity. And just watch God move in your life. God pays attention to small things. In the Gospel of Mark and Luke, there's a story of a widow who gave two small copper coins, mites, to the temple treasury, which Jesus himself praised as giving more, praise God, than the rich who gave from their surplus. That, you know, well, let me see what's left over and you give it, okay. Praise God, because she gave what she had, everything, highlighting a sacrificial giving. God's focus is on the heart's intentions over the amount. You see, if that's all you got, give it with all your heart. If that's the only talent you have and all you can do is slap the tambourine, slap it with all you got, man. If that's the only talent God has given you and you don't have a voice to sing up here, man, sing from over there. I'll join you, man. We're going to worship God together. You don't make excuses is what I'm saying. Don't make an excuse because God is not interested in the big stuff. He wants to know if you're doing it with all your heart. If you're doing it with all your heart and everything you got and you put into it, God's going to reward you. This person, God, he was not looking at the amount. The amount does not matter to God. What matters is the heart. What you do when you do it with all your heart. Don't worry about who says what, who is approving it or not. Nobody needs to approve anything. Your worship, your sacrifice is for God. And when you give it to the Lord, watch God move in your life. He's going to favor you. He's going to bless you. Amen. And he might just surprise you one day. You're singing in the shower and you might just hit a good note. Well, I don't know. You can record yourself and say, Pastor, look, I can sing. But what's all that noise in the background? That's the shower. God help me. Praise God. You know, there's people that they record themselves with the big mass choir, you know, the music in the background, all that, and they put themselves at the front. Praise God. I don't know if anybody does that here, but if you do, keep doing it. One day you're going to be the choir leader. Who knows? Let's direct our worship, our prayer, and our sacrificial giving, whether it be, you know, and our, our time, whether it's our resources, our talents, our gifts, whatever it is, and so much more, to the glory of God. Give it to the glory of God. Do it for God. Just say, Lord, this is for you, and not your own platform. Don't look for credit, and don't look for your name on the program, and your name here and there. No. Do it for God. Do it for him, and you're going to see how that God is going to bless your life. He will bless you. Doesn't matter. Praise God. Because he is worthy of the highest praise, our worship. Give it to him, and you'll see how that God is going to respond, amen, with a smile over your life. The widow did not display her sacrifice, as did the rich man, amen. She did it in humbleness and with all her heart. In Matthew 6 and 4, it says, so that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He's going to reward you. Praise God. God has a way. So, you know, whatever it is, wherever you are, whatever you need that job, you need that place, you need that nice apartment, you need that home, you need, you know, those transportation, whatever it is you need, praise God, you do what you worship God in secret, and you give everything you've got to God in secret, and you're going to see how that God's going to reward you. That promotion is yours. Tell your neighbor, that promotion is yours. That's your promotion. It's coming, brother. It's coming, sister. That promotion is yours. God's going to give it to you. Praise God. Just like that 98 Regency. That's mine. Praise God. Well, I got it in time. Amen. But here's the thing. Be patient with the Lord. It's not going to happen overnight. But if you keep holding on, amen, you just keep holding on to that promises of the Lord. Not because we're so interested in material things. No, because we want to glorify God even more. We want to give him the glory. Look what the Lord has done. Praise God in my life. The opposition. There's going to be opposition in the building. The opposition of building was fierce, and it was relentless, according to Scripture, because of the opposition. The temple construction project stopped and left unfinished, and it was abandoned. In other words, what he was saying here is that there could be some very strong opposition that you're going to give up on your dream. You're going to give up on what you thought it would be. You're going to give up. There was a sister that always had a picture of her house, future home, on the refrigerator. And I said, sister, why do you keep, every time I come over, it's the same old picture on that refrigerator. She says, that's my dream home. Don't get in my way. She says, that's my dream home. I says, all right, man, I'm backing off. That's your dream home. And, you know, she would not let go. She was relentless. But, you know, things came against us. Things will come against us. There's going to be oppositions in our lives. There's going to be things that you're going to stop the project. You know, it's like you say, oh, don't worry. Give it up. It ain't going to happen. It's not for you. It's for that. It's for them. Praise God. Not for you. Amen. But I want somebody to know here today, amen, the project, the dream, whatever God has given you, don't give up on it. You hang on to that. And he say, let God be true. Lord, you promised that to me. I'm yet hanging on to that promise. But because of the opposition, according to the scripture here in Zerubbabel, amen, the people, they got distracted by the noise and the oppositions and the people telling them that they couldn't and the pressures. And they started cutting back on their resources and the help and whatnot. So for 17 years, it just stayed there. Praise God. They just gave up on it. And they, amen, they weren't doing it. But then God raised up the prophets Zechariah and Haggai. He raised up these two prophets to challenge the people to start building again. Come on, you got to start building again. And Haggai exhorted many of them. They were focusing on their own investments. They were focusing on their businesses. They were focusing on their homes, personal homes, while the house of God was left in ruins. But I want somebody to know here today that God, it's God's house. Your life is God's life. It's not yours. You are not your own. Praise God. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. He purchased you with a price. You belong to God. And I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Don't become distracted and thinking that you're going to build things your way, that you're going to build your life your way, that you're going to build this or that your way. Well, I'm going to get educated and I'm going to go after this. I got to start doing this and I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to do all these other things, thinking that you're going to build up something for yourself. In other words, you're trying to do God's work in your own life. I got to suppress these feelings of anxiety. I'm going to start taking these pills. I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm going to take this. I'm going to take that. And we try to do things for ourselves, to build up ourselves. And let me tell you something. The Lord is sitting there waiting for you to submit to Him. Amen. Let Him do the building of your life. Let Him do the building of His church. Don't you try to be the general contractor of your own life. Give yourself to the Lord. Say, here I am, Lord. I give all myself to You. I mess up my own life. I said things and I did things that I shouldn't have done, shouldn't have said, and I was just trying to build up my life myself. But Lord, I give it all up to You. Don't try to do life by yourself. Let God build you. Let God invest in you. Let God make you who you should be and should become. Praise God, somebody. Amen. Haggai exhorted them and says, man, you're focused on your own stuff. You think that you can do all of this by yourself. And you, instead of building up what is going to bring glory to God, you're building up things about yourselves, amen, that is going to bring glory to yourself. Look what I did. You're not going to be able to sing that song that says, look what the Lord has done. You're going to sing the song that says, look what I did. No, you don't want to do that, because if you do that, you're going to shortchange yourself of what you can really be in God. And you're wanting to, amen, you fashion yourself. You say, well, this is what I want to be. This is how I should be. This is how I should be respected. This is what I should have. And, well, really, well, that's nice. But don't do it like that, because if you try to do it yourself, praise God, it's going to end. There's an end to that. But if you let God take charge of the building, to build not only your life, but also the church. Praise God. Many times we want to the church to be what we want it to be. And if we had this, oh man, I know the souls would come. Let's get air conditioning for the summertime. They're all going to come. Really? You're not going to get them out of their air-conditioned home to come here. Praise God. It's not. It's not in the amenities. We'll put stained glass windows on this side too, and I know souls are going to come now. Really? You know, we can't change the cosmetics or the things that man can do and expect the glory of God to move powerfully. We got to let God build the church. How do we let God build the church? We worship God. You know, unconditionally, we say, Lord, here I am. If You can use anything, You can use me. I give all myself unto You. Build the church, God, with me. I want to be part of it. It doesn't matter. It's just like one of my granddaughters, you know, not Chloe, but every year she wants us to go to the church drama, you know, where she goes to a Christian church, a Christian school. And every year I says, are you going to be that bush again? Or the sheep or something? And no, this year she's going to be Mary. Wow, she graduated. You know why she graduated? Because she remained faithful as a tree, as a lamb, as a whatever else there was on the scenery, nativity. But now she's going to be Mary. I said, wow, you're the main person other than Jesus now. But she's so excited because she stayed faithful on the little things. You know what I'm saying? Faithful on the little things. God's going to give you the platform one day. Praise God. So I had to put it on my calendar. I didn't go last year. It's going to be the same thing as the year before. But boy, when she said, I'm going to be Mary, I put it on my calendar. I'm going to be there. Praise God. She got a promotion. Praise God. And God wants to promote us. He wants to promote you to a greater work in Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. You know, God is amazing at what He wants to do in our lives and how He's forming us for the greater good of His church. Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. The prophets then were stirred up Zerubbabel and also and the priest Joshua. Amen, who received encouragement to build the temple in spite of the opposition. Listen, Zerubbabel is the leader here. He is the leader. And God's going to raise up leaders. We have Pastor Jacob here. We have ministry here. The Jeshuas, the priests. You're the leaders of the church. You're the Joshuas. You're those that are going to be supportive. And you're going to intertwine and be supportive of the vision. Amen. But they received an encouragement from the prophets. Praise God. Now, I believe God sent us a prophet. You might say, ooh, was I there? Yeah, you were probably here, and that was Bishop Frank Romo. How many remember he was here just last month? He was here, amen, who God used this in the 3 days that he was. I was only able to make a Saturday and Sunday, I believe, but wow, what I heard that was spoken over the congregation, the message was clear. And that we should honor the first family. How many remember that? Respect the pastor, honor the first family, and follow the pastor's vision. And you know that is the Zerubbabel. That's how God works. I don't see any other way in Scripture. Believe me, I don't see it. He also said to follow biblical order and submit to God's spiritual authority over the congregation, praise God, and to build the church. We got to build this way. There's only one way to build, and that's God's way. It was also said that if we unite, we will see the glory of the Lord. And God was going to multiply the church. Oh, my Lord. And I'm hanging on to. I'm hanging on to that because I know what God can do in a short time. I know. I've been placed in situations. I've been placed in many difficult situations. I've been asked to be a supervisor of districts that were just not happening. And they sent me as a last resort, and I went to the district of Utah, Idaho, Wyoming, and Oregon. I supervised that district for 2 years, and they told me, if you come back and say we need to shut it down, we're going to shut it down and merge it with another one. I said, oh, Lord, that's heavy, man. And they said, no, that's the mandate. So I went with my wife and I. We were there we supervised that district for 2 years. Well, I need to report that in 2 years, we planted 5 churches. Praise the Lord. We came back. In fact, one of the churches that we planted was in Wyoming. And in Evanston, Wyoming, and when my wife and I went out there, the only thing that was out there roaming around was buffalo. Hey, this is where the buffalo roam. Look at that buffalo everywhere. And then I went to this little community in the middle of nowhere, and we went out there. I think this is where the brother lives, and he wants to start a work out here. Well, let's do it. We went out there, and it was him, his kids, and one other brother, so one other person was there. We inaugurated him there. My wife remembers that in this little, real humble little space there that the community loaned them, and we inaugurated it. And I said, when I come back, brother, I want to see progress. Praise God, progress. And he said, Bishop, you're going to see it. I went back this year. They own a building now, a big building, a nice property. And he gave me a tour, and he says, Bishop, I did what you said. We got to work. We got to work here. And they united, and the Lord blessed them, and now they're planting another church. And he called me the other day. I need somebody to come. Send me somebody. I says, well, I'm not in charge of that, but I'll look for somebody. It's out there in Wyoming as well, and up in the mountains. I planted another young man that I seen at the convention. Praise God. And he graduated with the School of Planters, and my wife knows him well, and his name is Tino Monreal. And I planted him in Utah in a little town called Sandy. And I planted him there. I went and inaugurated him. He was in a little basement. Now he's grown so much that he's planted another church. He's already planted another church. And I says, you barely graduated from the School of Planters and you're already planting another one. What's going on? He says, the Lord's been good to us. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I know what it is to go somewhere where there's, well, challenges. But I've seen it flourish. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I know what that feels like. And I want City Light to know. I know that this city is a man, there's a lot of opposition out here, a lot of spiritual warfare going on. But I've already made up my mind, and this is my commitment. My commitment. I've already been, I'm not gonna tell you where, but I've already went around marching around another church building. I've already made my rounds there, and I'm going to go back, but I'm going to be fasting and praying, and I'm going to speak out loud, and I'm saying, Lord, give it to us. Give it to us. And at the convention, Pastor Jacob knows that a young man approached us, and he says, I feel led to help City Light Church. And I said, how are you going to help us? He says, well, I'm an investor. I just got $500,000 for another church down here. I says, get a little closer. I said, get a little closer here. And I says, well, what are you talking about? He says, Lord wants me to bless your church. And I says, hello, praise God. Look what the Lord is going to do. Amen. He wants to meet with us right away. He says, God's going to do something for City Light. I'm telling you, God's opening doors. God's going to open doors. This is what God will do. When we put our mind and our heart, our sweat and our tears into it and believe God, amen. And I'm going to keep marching around the facilities that I know that God's going to give City Light, because I'm not settling for nothing less than the glory of God to pee upon the church. Bless God, amen. Somebody get encouraged right now. Amen. We might even just put a little parking spot there with your name, lead worship leader. Your own parking spot, bro. No, don't get all big-headed. Come on, brother. Be humble. Zerubbabel trusted in the Lord and continued the work in the face of great opposition. Zechariah, the prophet, said, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top, and seven lamps on it with seven channels to the lamps. We read this earlier. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. And then God gave Zechariah a vision of the golden lampstand that was meant to stand in the temple. This is a lampstand that's supposed to stand in the temple to give light. Zechariah saw something that was never in the temple before. It was never there. We've never seen it. It's never happened. But I want City Light to know this is what God is up to. He said he saw two olive trees that supplied the seven lamps with oil through seven pipes. Amen. One of the most tedious duties of the temple service was the constant care of the lamps, meaning they had to be continually refilled with oil over and over, refilling with oil. We got to fill it with oil again. We got to clean it. And then we have to trim the wicks over and over to maintain it. In other words, to keep the light on, there were many challenges, such as cleaning, dealing with the residue that accumulated and tarnished the lampstand. Then, he says that the cutting of the wicks, which is a typology of cutting away all that hinders the light. This was a constant challenge for the priest. The light will only be as bright as the wick would permit. Praise the Lord, somebody. This is a serious problem. Even if there's oil, anointing, if the wick is not cut, the light was dim. Are you getting me? It says that God cuts away what hinders his light to shine. The cutting is most always painful. But the oil, which had to be freshly prepared daily, was an enormous task for the priest. Constantly. The oil, the anointing. But in this vision, Zechariah sees what is called a self-filling lamps that fed directly from two olive trees, one on the left and one on the right. The two olive trees are symbolic of the continual flow of the Holy Spirit of God and his glory in the church. City Light, God's Spirit will continually flow through this church. There is no end to the Spirit. It will flow continuously. And I want somebody to know that I had an entirely different message for today. Pastor knows. I told him, what do you think? I was thinking about speaking on this. Well, yeah, that's good. And I says, all right, yeah. And then the Lord spoke to me and says, tell him this. If we allow the Spirit to flow through us, we will indeed be a light to the city. Oh, church, in your home, wherever you're in your workplace, I know what it is to be in your workplace and not win one soul. Everybody's pagan and cussing and swearing all around you. And back then, they can smoke. They would smoke in my face. And they were just, it's just a lot of stuff, man, there, you know, in that environment. But I told the Lord, enough is enough. I want souls, Lord. Let me win a soul here. Well, you all know the story, my testimony, but amen, I began at my desk. I said, the Lord says, oh, you want souls? We'll see if you want souls. And I came in one morning, and I was praying at my desk, and the Lord says, okay, now get up and dance around your desk seven times. And I says, Lord, you know, got my blue suit on, and folks are dignified here, man. It's important people here. And he says, you want souls or not? Okay. So I got up and started walking around slowly, yeah, kind of quietly, Lord Jesus, bless your name. And the Lord said, that's not loud enough. Okay, Lord, took it to the next octave, you know, and got a little louder. And I went around about three or four times, and then I heard somebody say from way over there, it says, I think Joe's going crazy. And I heard that. And then the Lord said, well, yes or no? And I said, yes, Lord. Okay, go around, make it louder. And I went around, man, by my sixth time around, I was shouting, God, you're so good. Bless the name of the Lord. And I was dancing. By the seventh time, I was dancing around my desk like this in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. That was the first day of a revival in my workplace. I won 21 people from just that little area. 21 people I won to the Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost. And then when I come into work, praise the Lord, Brother Joe, praise the Lord, instead of cussing and swearing and smoking, praise the Lord everywhere, walking down the hallway, praise the Lord. There was this young guy, he was a martial arts guy. You know, he was tough cookie, man. He's Filipino, you know, his name, I'm figuring his name. Remember, Didi, what was his name? Where are you? Oh, she's waiting. What was his name? Yeah, he was like, you know, I was walking down the hallway one day, and I made a turn, and he was in. He goes, he says, I almost took you down, he tells me. I says, oh, really? Give me a little while, and I'm going to take you down. I'm going to take you down in the Holy Ghost. My wife is my witness. I won him to the Lord. He became karate for Jesus, man. I said, did I take you down or not? His name was Donnie. I said, did I take you down, Donnie? He says, yeah, you did, man. You didn't even touch me. God did. I says, I took him down. He brought his girlfriend that became his wife. He carried his dad up the stairs, baptized his father, amen, in Jesus' name. People were coming, getting baptized. I'm going to tell you, City Light Church, when you make up your mind that you're going to be a witness for God, if you make up your mind that you're going to win somebody for the Lord, God's going to give you that soul. You got to believe it. So you got to believe it. Praise be to God, because that's what God does. He honors. Don't settle for a drought. It's not happening. The people are calling me names at work. Oh, stop it already. Stand up for Jesus. Praise God. How many of you commit to win somebody from work? Lift your hand. Come on. More hands. Okay, it's happening. Somebody from your work, you're going to win them to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. See there? It's going to happen. God's Spirit will continually flow through His church. Don't worry, it's about 2:15 right now. My God, I'm not even halfway down here, but that's okay. City Light Church, God's Spirit will continually flow through His church. There's no end to the Spirit. With the two olive trees, one on one side, that lamp is going to continue. He put special pipes from the tree to the lamps, from the tree. That is, wow. That's what God was saying. I'm going to have continuous flow of my Spirit, my glory in the church, because it's my church. Praise the Lord. There's no end to it. It flows continuously. God will allow it in our lives. So not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. That's why He said it. Praise God, somebody. We do not accomplish great things for God because of our great skills, our talents, our abilities, but rather because of our dependence on Him. Let's depend on Jesus. Let's not, amen, make excuses anymore. Let's stand up and believe it. And with that, I want you to stand with me. I'm going to close with you standing, just so it might look like we're going to be done. He who promised is faithful. He will surely bring it to pass. Listen to what the scripture says. Then the Lord said, what are you, mighty mountain? This mighty mountain represents all opposition. Though it may be great, the prophet said, if God be with us, who can be against us? Sometimes it may be all we see is just, you know, young man, young lady, maybe all you can see is an enormous opposition to where you would like to be in God, in life. Maybe that's all you see. Wow, it's too big. Wow, it's too big. It's enormous. It's visible from a distance and from up close. It's very overwhelming, very intimidating. But God said to Zerubbabel, as I say to City Light, God will level the mountain. He's going to bring that mountain down, and we're going to be able to see the glory of God. God's going to lower. He's going to level it. God will level the mountain. Then listen to this. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of, God bless it, God bless it. You know what capstone is in typology, biblical typology? It is the last harvest of souls. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. The church is built through time. But the capstone is the last stone that seals it, the church. At that time, the Lord comes. That's the capstone. And he told Zerubbabel, then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of, God bless God, God bless God, God bless it, God bless it. It is a typology of an end time revival of souls. It's a revival that God's bringing our way. We cannot deny it. And Zechariah prophesied and said to Zerubbabel, he said, the hands of Zerubbabel had laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands will also complete it. Pastor Jacob, this is a word for you. Your hands have started the building of God's church in Mountain View. And God is confirming that your hands will complete it. God leaves nothing half done. Nothing. Then Zechariah said, then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. God's prophetical word and promises is with you, City Light, to fulfill his purpose in this city. We ain't done yet. We ain't done yet. God has promised it. Now I want you to put the last scripture up. Mijo, put it up. Back, verse 4. Back 4. All the way to back, right there. Thank you. No, chapter 2, verse 4. I'm sorry. Haggai. There you go. Thank you. You're right. But now the Lord says, be strong. Somebody say, be strong. Zerubbabel, Pastor Jacob, God's word to you today is to take up courage. Be strong as he leads you through to a miraculous and a powerful revival that will result in many souls coming to Christ. That is Haggai's word to Zerubbabel. Be strong. Then it says, be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, City Light ministry and leadership. Be strong and courageous. Focus and support the vision God has given your pastor. And know that God is the God of breakthroughs. Your ministry will grow for the glory of God. God is able to do more with less. This is his church. Let's work united. Next, Be strong, all you people still left in the land, members of City Light Church. You are important to God. He has a plan for every one of you. Catch the vision and follow with a determination that just ahead, we will see the glory of God as we've never seen before. If you have family members that have not yet been baptized, your eyes will behold it. Keep the faith. Let's march forward as an army on a mission. But listen, but let's do what God said. And what did he say? And now, get to work. Somebody say, get to work. Turn around to your neighbor and say, now let's get to work. And then tell him, for God is with us. Says the Lord of heaven armies. Verse 5 says, my spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. So do not be afraid. Your beginnings was not in vain. It's not how we start. It's how we finish that matters. For this is what the Lord of heaven's army says. In just a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the oceans and the dry land. I will shake all the nations. And listen to this. And the treasures of all the nations will be brought to this temple. In other words, God will provide all the resources needed to fulfill his purpose. With City Light Church in Mountain View, we will lack nothing. This is God's investment. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. God's glory will be with us, and it's always with you. Be with you, every one of you. His promise will fill his house with glory. City Light, the glory of God is in our midst. And then he says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of heavenly armies. God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. There's a fish still in the sea that God has prepared to supply our every need. I want to speak a word to somebody here today. If you are struggling financially, if you have a mountain before you, if it seems like you're regressing instead of progressing, let me declare this day that things will change for you very soon. You are part of God's plan for City Light Church. And he will open the windows of heaven open to you. Your best days are ahead of you. God will bless your investment, and he will prosper you. And in this place, listen, Pastor Jacob, and in this place, I will bring peace. I, the Lord, heaven's armies, have spoken. Your focus is to lead his people and build his church. We are not proclaiming that Christ was born on the December 25th, but we take advantage of any opportunity to celebrate his miracle birth. As we enter the season of celebrating Christ's birth, may the light, you can put that up there, Mijo. I think it's the last slide. Maybe, maybe not. There it is. Let's all read that together. Are you ready? May the light that came that holy night fill our hearts, our families, our homes, and City Light Church with his peace. God bless you.